And that's okay. That's good. We need that. But we need to get tears of repentance too. And that's what Barnabas was talking about. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the presence in the fire of God will be in our life. The greater the Holy Spirit will be in our life. Now, who's Frank Barnabas? Frank Barnabas just happened to be alive during the biggest revival that ever hit planet Earth. It happened about 117 years ago in Los Angeles. And it happened in a street called Azusa Street. From that place, God visited in a humble little building that was falling all down. And from there, the fire of God spread out all over the world. That revival, people came from every part of the world back in 1906, before the airplanes, to come and have a touch from God and have the fire of God fill their hearts and their lives. And then they went back to their country or back to their city and they started churches. And people got saved. People came to Christ in numbers untold. One of the great things that happened, and I'm just telling you some stories and some experiences, and I'm giving you information hoping that you'll turn it into transformation. Okay? One of the things that used to happen on Azusa Street is they would be so much at worship, and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit would be there so strong that the building looked like it was on fire, and the neighbors were always calling the fire department. When they got there, it wasn't real fire. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit over the building, just like on Pentecost. That happened in my ministry when I was in Nebraska. In the old church, before I got there, they were having a prayer meeting one time, and the fire of the Holy Spirit engulfed outside the building, and people next door, the neighbors, called the fire department. When they got there, there was no fire. And then when we were in revival, when I was a pastor there, that fire that we just read about on the day of Pentecost happened when we were in revival. It was in February, and we had to turn the heat off way before the service because the presence of God was so strong and so powerful in there that even though it was only like 10 degrees outside, we had to turn the air conditioning on in the sanctuary. And finally, one of the ladies in the church had to take her little daughter home, Lexi. Lexi was about 3, and as they're going down the church driveway, Lexi looks around and she says, Mom, the church is on fire. She saw the Holy Spirit's presence resting upon the building there. Guess what? The mother didn't see it because the mother never really got into the revival. The mother just sort of stood back and never really wanted more of God. Didn't want the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in her life. But her little daughter saw it. Amazing stories, I can tell you. But this day in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit fell. And they spoke in other tongues and people saw fire on their heads. But what does this Holy Spirit thing do? Is it to scare us? No. The fire of the Holy Spirit creates unity. That day, in another translation, it says they were all in one accord. They were in unity. That's why the 380 had to leave. They had to be in unity in order for the power and the presence of God to come and baptize them with fire and with power so they could change the world that they lived in. And guess what? The scripture says that they turned the world upside down. That small handful of Jesus followers turned the world upside down. There were people that were observing that day. And they saw the tongues of fire and they heard the people speaking in other languages. And it said they were perplexed by what was taking place. But what the Holy Spirit does is create unity, because each and every one of them had the same experience. Each and every one of them had the same tongues of fire from the Holy Spirit resting upon their head. Each and every one of them spoke in other languages, and they were unified to the point that they were able to go out from there and change the whole world. That's before there was electricity. That was before there was hardly even ships. There were some ships, but not a lot. It's sort of the Tower of Babel in reverse. Remember what happened in the Tower of Babel. Man was building a tower, and all spoke the same language, and they said, we can do anything. We're going to build the tower all the way to God, and all the way to heaven. And the Lord came down and says, you know what, if I let people do this, they're going to try to outwit me, and they're going to try everything. So he came down and confused their languages, and that's where all the languages came from. You know, that's why there's German, and that's why there's Japanese, and that's why there's all those other weird languages like Italian, or whatever you speak, or German. And It was a Tower of Babel in reverse in order to bring unity instead of division. Because what happened, it says that there were 16 different languages that were being spoke from that place. And the fire of the Holy Spirit spread spread the good news of Jesus Christ with unlimited power that day throughout the whole area. That day, think about it. When they started praising God in other languages, in that day, people from all around the world were in Jerusalem. God knew that it was going to happen on that day. So I want you to see this. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. And look at verse number 7. The people that were observing this, it says they were completely amazed. They said, how could this be? They claimed these people are all from Galilee. In other words, these people in this upper room that's being touched by God only speak Galilean. And yet, we hear them speaking in our native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs, we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things of God. So in other words, in 5 minutes, the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ was preached to all the world because those people went back and were able to go to all four corners of the earth and tell the glorious good news of Jesus Christ before there was any kind of mass media. That's how the church was birthed. Amazing, isn't it? When you think about it. Before the day of Pentecost, though, the followers of Jesus Christ were called the Way. In other words, they were seen as an organization. They were seen as people who were giving information about God, about Jesus. But after the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, guess what they were called? Christians. You know what Christian means? They didn't come up with that name themselves. The people that observed them came up with that name for them. Christian means like Christ. They went from just being an organization of giving information about Jesus to being transformed and changed into His image and into His likeness so that the world could see Jesus in their life. That's what the Holy Spirit did for them. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for us today if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing and let the fire of God baptize us in the Holy Spirit. We will be able to have the boldness and the courage to stand up and witness for Jesus like they did and be able to change the world around us. I don't know about you, but I think we need a little bit of change in this world. We need a little bit more of Jesus Christ in this world. We need a little bit more of righteousness in this world. We need a move of God in this world, not only in this nation, but the whole world. And if anybody agrees with me on that, you can say amen.
Amen.
I received my Pentecost on January 10th. 1977. Yes, I'm that old. I was in college, and I was standing in the lunch line, and a friend I just met had only been in college about 10 days or less. He said, I'm going to the chapel to pray. Would you like to come and pray? And I'm thinking, give up eating? And I thought, no, that sounds like a good idea because, you know, I was homesick already and I was sort of scared. And here I'm in college. And it was a Christian college. I studied to be in ministry and all. And so I said, yeah, I'll go with you. He says, is there anything that you want to pray for specifically? And I said, well, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit as some people say that they have. You know, I've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, I love Jesus and everything, but I guess I would like to have that experience. I didn't know what I was asking for. I really didn't. So he said, well, let's go up into the balcony because there's some people down in the chapel. They were practicing a special music. So we went up into the balcony and we knelt down and I didn't know what to expect. And he just started praying for me and I just started praying. And all of a sudden, I felt this presence of God like I'd never felt before. It welled up within inside my spirit. It welled up like a river of life, like the scripture says. It started overflowing, and I just started praising God. And before you know it, I was speaking another language. Oh, no. Yeah.
Thank God.
I had received my baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was so on fire for God. Up to that point, I was doubting whether I was called of God to go into the ministry because I was so shy. I could not get up in front of people. I couldn't even hardly talk to people. And after that, I had such boldness. I had such power. I had such fervor for God. Man, my whole life changed. And yes, I am a tongues-talking Christian. I want to share some things with you. You see, those people on that day of Pentecost had a dramatic change take place in their life. They had transformation. They had an alteration in them that made them look more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, have the power to minister for Jesus. They were going through a metamorphosis and becoming more like their God. And that's what the Holy Spirit would do for you and for I. Now, will you have the same experience as me? Probably not. But I had that experience. I want to just give you some facts that I think are important to make us hungry, to maybe seek more of the Holy Spirit, and to allow the fire of baptism to come in our life. Pentecostalism, which are people who speak in tongues, is the fastest growing segment of Christianity. There's been a 500% growth since the year 2000 worldwide. One quarter of Christians are considered Pentecostal charismatic. In other words, they speak in other tongues. Did you know that? Do you know 3 out of the 6 pastors in our ministerial alliance have received the same experience as me? You can figure out who they are. I won't tell you. You probably will be able to figure out. You don't have to be Pentecostal to have the baptism of fire from the Holy Spirit. I have met Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, and Catholic. I have preached in almost every denomination. I've preached in 14 churches. I've preached in over 14 states. And I've preached in every denomination you can possibly think of. And every church I've gone into, there's someone there that's had that same experience that they had on the day of Pentecost that has brought them in a closer relationship with their Lord and a greater love and a greater unity. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's not there to scare us. The Holy Spirit's not there to put... To make us fear things. The Holy Ghost is not spooky. The Holy Spirit brings order into the church. Amen. Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be immersed, or you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was the last words he said as he ascended into heaven. And the church in America needs a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit because we're not making a difference. I'll give you some examples in a little while, but let me tell you what's been happening in the last decade in the church in America as people have been opening up to the Holy Spirit. There's been a 5% increase in speaking in tongues in the church, not Pentecostal churches, around all denominations. There's been a 9% increase in spontaneous shouting in worship. In other words, getting excited about God and just abandoning all and just worshiping God, like it says in the Old Testament, shout unto the Lord. And it tells us many times to shout with praise and worship. There's been an 11% increase in raising of hands in worship. And I can go in any church. I've even been in Catholic Mass and see people raise their hands in worship. That was just unheard of years ago, especially in a Baptist church. And you go into a Baptist church and you see people raising their hands in praise and worship. You see, we have to get rid of our dignity. We have to get rid of feeling that we have to be in control. In other words, there's an old saying, let go and let God. You may remember I preached it on the 4th of July here, my first Sunday. There's a time where we have to let go and let God have his way in our life. And that's really what happens when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and we let his fire burn through us. Because remember what we talked about the last 2 Sundays? Our God is a consuming fire. He wants to consume every moment, every minute of our life, every avenue and every aspect and every area of our life. The fire of the Holy Spirit indwelling you and me gives us boldness to witness and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now here's some sad news. mainline churches have seen great decreases in attendance and membership. One of the greatest denominations ever, I won't name them, I'll name ours when I get to it, has lost since 1965 67% of its members. That's decreased. Then there's some few more in between there, and then we get to the United Methodist Church. Since 1967, we have decreased by 33%. However, in the Pentecostal denomination, the biggest one, which is the Church of God in Christ, they have increased since 1967 by 1,194%. You do the math. The Assemblies of God, which I was ordained in for many years and left for specific reasons, since 1967 has increased by 430%. Does the Holy Spirit make a difference? You betcha. Just like Marty Tunks would say, betcha. Marty's not here today, so he gets picked on. You betcha, the Holy Spirit makes a difference. Now, do we seek Him so that we can have these glorious things happen, speak in other tongues, and have signs and wonders? Now, we seek Him because we want a greater love for God. We want a greater unity among ourselves and other believers. We want the power and the boldness to be able to be His witness. That's what we want the Holy Spirit for. One of the reasons why I left the Assemblies of God was because of the abuses of the Holy Spirit. That people thinking that they spoke in tongues thought that they were spiritually mature, and that's not true. See, anybody can speak in tongues. And they thought that that was the ultimate thing, but that's at the bottom of the list when you get into Corinthians. Tongues is one of the ones at the bottom. It helps me in my personal life and my prayer life, but some people have used it and abused it, and they've used and abused the gift, and other people have seen that. But can you imagine? When you go into a Christian fellowship, there's a chance that one out of every four people have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have spoke in other tongues. Let's go on to number two. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural abilities. Gives us a supernatural ability to speak fluently in other languages if we don't know them. It gives us the supernatural power of God. But sometimes it's ridiculed. You know, I read to you earlier from the second chapter of Acts, but let's read verse 12 and 13. Because often people are ridiculed for allowing themselves to be full of God and full of the Holy Spirit. People ridiculed them that day. Verse 12, it says, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? They asked each other. Those are the ones that said, we got to check this God out. We got to check this Jesus out. But then there were others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they are just all drunk. That's all. But it was 9 o'clock in the morning, someone said. How could they be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? This baptism of the Holy Spirit fire didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost, but it fell on the Gentiles later, and they spoke in other tongues too. Through the Holy Spirit, we've been given power to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I would urge you to go home today and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First, you can be using all these gifts. And I have been using all these gifts sometime in my Christian walk, and so has my wife and so many other people that I know. The first one is supernatural wisdom. Wisdom to give advice beyond what you are capable to give. The next one is knowledge. That's to know something that you possibly couldn't know. And here's something that's going to sort of freak you out, but we had this girl in our congregation, and she was sort of in and out with the Lord. We could tell she sort of had a calling on her life. And she came over to our house one day. She was just a teenager. Must have been old enough to drive. No one had told me this, but she was in an improper relationship with a boy. No one had told me. No one had told anybody. She had told no one. And she was sitting in my living room, and I said, I won't say her name. You're seeing a boy, aren't you? You have a boyfriend. She goes, no. I says, yes, you are. I says, his name is John, isn't it? She goes, "How'd you know that?" I said, "The Holy Spirit told me." And his last name is, she just about fell on the floor. Guess what? She's now the pastor of the church I just left. She was headed down the wrong road. She was going into heroin. Instead of being a heroin addict today, she's a United Methodist pastor. Hallelujah! Amen. Because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. No one knew. Not even her parents knew. We were children's pastors in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And one day, it's just a regular Sunday service, and this family comes walking in. About three or four kids, really nicely dressed. And we were a small church. We're having a staff, and everybody's excited. Here's another family. Boy, they look good. And the Spirit spoke to me right away and said, "There's something wrong with that father. There's something wrong with that man." Matter of fact, the Spirit told me exactly what it was. So I went to the senior pastor, because I was on his staff, and I told him that we needed to watch out for this family. And I said, "They're going to try to get into ministry right away because they're from another church just like this one." Sure enough, that Sunday after the service, they asked the pastor, "Do you have any openings? We'd love to join this church, and we'd love to start teaching Sunday school and everything." Right away, the senior pastor said, "Yeah, we have a class open." Gave them a class to teach. They were teaching the next week. 2 months down the road, we found out what it was. I tried to tell the senior pastor because the Spirit had given it to me. The father was molesting the two daughters. What a mess that was. See, the Spirit will give you knowledge you don't have. The next gift that the Spirit will give you is great faith. He'll give you the next one is healing. Any of us can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed from cancer. They can be healed from any disease. The next one is the power to perform miracles. The next one listed is prophecy. The next one is discerning the spirits. When I was young and we were in Connecticut and we were youth pastors, if you didn't know this, Eastern Massachusetts and Eastern Connecticut are really strong into the occult and to witchcraft. And the witches and warlocks would come into our services. They'd like to go into spirit-filled churches because they wanted to try to bring a curse upon them. And I was on the platform one Sunday night, and these people came in, and I right away the Spirit told me who they were, gave me the discerning of spirits. And so what did we do? I started praying, and some other people started praying, and before you know it, their backs were up against the wall. They kept moving back. They got up on their seats till they were standing in the back of the room. Then I preached in a church in Putnam, Connecticut, one Sunday morning. And I didn't know it. I was preaching, and afterwards we had an altar call. And I can't remember what the altar call was for, and people came up to be prayed for, and these two women came up, and the Lord spoke to me when they came up that there's something different about these women, that they've got a spirit of witchcraft in them. And I said, "What would you like me to pray for you?" And they go, "Well, you know, we came here today to bring curses upon this church, and we were into witchcraft. But we would like you to pray for us because we sure would like to have what this church had." The pastor was away on vacation. And then the other two gifts that are listed are speaking in tongues and interpretation. And I'll tell you, it's a scary thing when you have an interpretation. I was in a church of 2,500, and the Lord, someone had given a message in tongues, and the Lord said, "I want you to give the interpretation." It was in Springfield, Missouri, and it scared me half to death. And I stood up and I just gave the interpretation. I don't know how all 2,000 people heard it, but it's amazing how God can make someone's voice carry when it's time for it to be done. See, this is what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about, folks. This is the time that we're living in when we're in spiritual warfare. We see terrorism all around us. We see Islam wanting to bring down Christianity. We see things happening that are listed that are going to happen in the last days. And we need a fresh Pentecost. We need a new fire of God. We need the tools and the gifts of the Holy Spirit again so that we can withstand the enemy that's coming after the church. We don't need to be declining anymore. We need to be increasing. We need to be bringing the glory of God back into the house of God. And the only way that we can do that is say, Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. And Lord, you do whatever you want with my life. That's what God wants from us. Each and every one of us. He just doesn't want it from the pastor or from the leaders of the church. He wants it from our children, so our children can stand up and speak the word of God in their schoolroom and to their teachers and to their friends. They need the power of the Holy Spirit too. Let's not quench the power of the Spirit, because through the Spirit we get more love, we get more unity, we get more spiritual power and authority to act in Jesus' name and to use those gifts that I just listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those gifts are gifts. We don't earn them. He's given them to us. And we can put them into practice. When will we start using the gifts that God gave us to build His church so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Folks, today we need a new Pentecost. We need a fresh baptism of His presence in our life. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. If anyone agrees with me, if just two people agree with me, I would take that. Amen.
Amen.
The last thing we're going to look at is this. Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, preaching. I'll take that as an interruption from the enemy. Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist said when he was preaching in the wilderness in Luke chapter 3, you can read it when you get home. It says, someone is coming who is greater than I. And he was talking about Jesus. He says, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave or to untie the straps of his sandals. And he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And today I'm going to ask you that during communion, that you would ask God to fill you and baptize you with his Holy Spirit. However he wants to do it, however you will surrender yourself to him. So let's prepare our hearts and our spirits today by singing this song.